Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 123, stanzas 1 and 2. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 123.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the prophet Isaiah, not only chapter 4, but also chapter 3, chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Isaiah, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 3 and 4. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sins as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces, and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. That's God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we, may it be in the land of the living, that we may gather together and we may try to approach unto thee in a way of prayer and of supplication. And thou knowest all those for whom it has become different in a moment of time. In the very short time that is lying behind us, one after the other, and both young and old, all called away from the dream of this life. And then suddenly, as in a moment, time has been exchanged for eternity, and loved ones have been cast into mourning, as even the young in this life have been called to stand before the judgment seat of God, there to give an account of all that they have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. O Lord, we are not able to enter into it, but it shall become reality for each and every one of us. And the callings are coming unto us one after the other, not only those who are a little older, but also to our young people, to our young fathers, our young mothers. And we hear from every side, but Lord, thou knowest our hearts and what they are within, because it makes no impression upon us until thou wilt come and sanctify the callings by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest that we are dependent upon thee for everything, all the needs that we have in this life, but in a special way for the need of our poor, never-dying souls. For we are dead in sins and in trespasses by nature, having no hope and without God in this world, and having no prayer to pray, and having no sigh to sigh or a cry to cry. We have no desire after thee nor the knowledge of thy ways. And we must be born again, and we must be converted, we must be stopped by thee. We must be prepared to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to stop us on our mad career as we go over this world without oil in our lamps, approaching ever closer and closer unto that day when the trumpets shall sound and the bridegroom shall come. And then those that are ready shall go in with thee unto the marriage. and all else shall stand without knocking at that door. Open unto us, open unto us. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done wonderful works and cast out devils? O Lord, thou knowest what we also shall present in that day. That we have been baptized and we have come to thy house and we have bent our knees and we have read thy word. But it shall be said unto us, even as it was unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. Oh, could it please thee, Lord God of heaven above, thou who hast sent thine only begotten Son into this world, that he may seek and that he may save that which is lost, that thou mayest look on each and every one of us also and our dear children. And when we are in such a lost state and condition, to give unto us a new birth, a true regeneration life from the dead. Oh, that we may come to know who and what we are before a holy and a righteous God. That we may be given to put our hand into our own bosom and take it out leprous. Oh, that we might say, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, Lord, that we may cover our heads with ashes and put sackcloth upon our loins. That we may be given to repent in dust and in ashes before thee. Oh, that we may be brought with weeping and with supplications in a day of grace. And when it is still declared that there is mercy and grace to be had by thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, Lord, cause us to enter into that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way. And wilt thou reveal thyself unto those who do not see the way, who do not know the way, who cannot find an entrance. Oh, could it please thee to open thy holy book, and by the power of thy most holy Spirit in this hour, and to come and to give relief unto those who are oppressed, those who are needy, those who are downcast, those who are discouraged, those who have no way to be reconciled unto God their Maker. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to come with thy Spirit and to come in the hearts of the older ones, of fathers and of mothers, but also of the younger ones, when we may see that our day can be cut short in just a moment. Oh, that we could not sleep so easy in the night, because we know not our day for a moment. Oh, that we may be given then urgency, as thou hast come and called a Lot out of Sodom and said, flee for your life, flee unto the mountains lest ye be consumed. Oh, Lord, that we may be given to flee to that refuge, to that hiding place, to that rock, to that covert from the storm and from the rain, that thou hast provided, that there may be a covering in the midst of the tempest, that there may be a place of refuge for those who have sinned everything away and who are exposed unto the wrath of God, who must die and appear before God. Who cannot die and who do not dare to appear before thee. Oh, Lord, could it please thee then to open thy holy word? Oh, open the riches of thy dear Son. Oh, that blessed and that new covenant, whereby thou takest everything upon thyself, the burden of the sin of thy people and the curse of that sin, that thou hast taken it and that thou hast brought it into the grave there to leave it for a never-ending eternity. Also, that there may be a burden that may fall off the back of thy children upon the sight of thy cross, and they may fall into that sepulcher, and that they may never see it again, and that they may be given to rejoice, oh, to leap for joy. Lord, open thy word, open thy mystery, the mystery of free and sovereign grace. Oh, the mystery whereby it is received without money and without price. To prodigals who have run away from thee and spent all their living. Oh, Lord, bring back, bring back, bring back. Oh, work with thy spirit in the heart of the hardest ones, in the hearts that cannot bow, that cannot pray. Oh, Lord, the power of thy spirit is much greater than all the resistance that our hearts and minds can give. Then a man can say that I will have, that thou wilt have not me to reign over thee. But Lord, then thou wilt say thus far and no further. Oh, could it happen even in this hour? For the matter is urgent. We know not our life. So many, and they have spent the last Sabbath day so lately in thy house with no thought and no idea that it would be the last time in their life that they have ever heard thy word. Ever heard the preaching of thy word? Ever heard that invitation going out also unto them? Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die? O Lord, bind it upon the hearts of young and old together in this hour. It is always such a solemn moment when we appear before thee in thy house. And when the word is going forth from this pulpit, oh, could it please thee also to sanctify and to bless it, Lord? Wilt thou remember all the needs and the cares in the midst of this our flock? Oh, that thou may remember all that suffer from serious diseases, all that recover from surgeries. Remember all widows, widowers, orphans, and handicapped in this world, our brother, elder who is at home. Remember our own brother in Iowa, in the hospital. Thou knowest his condition. Oh, could it please thee to spare him and bring him safely home unto his wife and children. Lord, that thou may remember all the afflicted in mind and in body, so many cares. All callings coming unto us day after day that we do not heed, and because our hearts are so hardened. But Lord, come thou then and bless and sanctify in thy mercy. Remember us as a consistory and as a congregation where thou hast spoken. And thou hast said, oh, then these are not the ones that I have chosen. Oh, Lord, help us then. Thou knowest all of our needs. Wilt thou provide for us in thy mercy? And wilt thou remember those men who have made that very solemn decision? For thou knowest how much turmoil could now be in their hearts. Oh, give them yet a little quietness. And oh, give us together a prayer for them. And may it be for the future and for our arising generation. Oh, give that tender fear, Lord, and the tender fear of thy name in the hearts of many, each and every one, young and old. Oh, that we may be given to live a close life to thee, that we might know from the oldest to the youngest more of that. What it is for thee to lead us and what it is for thee to guide us, for we are so often so far from that place. Oh, that we may be brought more in our inner chambers and that we may know what thy leadings are for our own poor souls. Lord, that thou wouldst so bless us as a congregation to work mightily and to give that thy work may not be strange to the hearts within. Remember us in this hour. Help us, Lord, to bring this little portion of thy holy word. Oh, give us strength, give us courage, give us love. Give us clarity, give us thy spirit, Lord. Oh, could it be a word from heaven, because we do not know what is living in each heart in this moment and what is necessary for the conviction and the convincing of sin and for the deliverance from sin. But oh, that thou would guide our mouth, and that thou would speak through our mouth and be as our mouth, as thou hast promised us. And that it all may redound to the glory of thy great and holy and most worthy name, and to the salvation of our poor souls, young and old, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 205, stanzas 1 through 5, 8 and 12. O wherefore hast thou cast us off, O God, our God of old? Why art thou angry with thy sheep, the sheep of thy own fold? The sheep of thy own fold. 1 through 5, 8 and 12 of 205. beloved congregation, what is the purpose of a promise that is to give hope, that is to give expectation, that is an expectation that is in a certain direction that a person may know what to look for and that a person may know what to hope for. If a gift is given right away, boys and girls, then a promise is not given. No, but if something is far off, then often a promise is given because a person has to wait. So a promise that is in a special way given to those who will have to wait. 4,000 years was a long time between the first promise for the true church of God and its fulfillment, a long time to wait, and waiting is a very difficult work, especially when there is need and when there is desire, then it is not easy to wait. And there is also so much that comes against it in the waiting. Peter speaks about those who will mock with the promise of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Does that mocker come in your heart too sometimes? A mocker, young people, that says, well, everything is just continuing. It is not happening. The end of the world does not come. The judgment of the world does not yet come. But the devil is also tempting and mocking with a promise for the true church of God. And certainly we may believe that has happened also in the Old Testament. And because the people had to wait, then the Lord sometimes came back. Sometimes came back. That is a wonder, is it not? If the waiting is very, very long, and the need is very, very great, and the temptations are also very great, that the Lord sometimes comes back and that the Lord says, "I still know where you are." Is that not a wonder? If the Lord just comes back and says, "I still know where you are," David says, "The Lord thinketh upon me," and that was for him a very great wonder. And then we see that also in our text for this afternoon, Isaiah 4, verse 2. Isaiah 4, verse 2. "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." So far the words of our text, the estimation of Christ in the day of his appearing. First, the day of his appearing. In that day, the day of his appearing. Second, the estimation of him at his appearing. "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." The estimation of Christ in the day of his appearing, first, the day of his appearing, and second, the estimation of him at his appearing. So we have first the day of his appearing, it says, "In that day." But that is not the first time it says this, because if we begin in the first chapter of Isaiah, And then we read up till this point, we will find that this is the seventh time. Thus, many times before, Isaiah has been speaking about in that day. We read that in the first verse here. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. That is, in that day. And that verse is for us a picture. It is a picture of what the Lord has laid out, what Isaiah has laid out in the several chapters that have gone before this one, God's people, brought into a very deplorable condition. Why? Because of their sin. And that is all now laid out for us, the universal corruption that has infiltrated, that is festering within the people of the Lord, the Lord's own people, the people that are called after his name and living in the midst of this world. Thus, how is it for ourselves when we are called by the name of the Lord and we are living in the midst of this world? How is it that we live in this world? Then can it be seen by this world that we are a separate people, that we are a people who do not walk as the world, when the world is not living in our heart, that there is another reason for which we are living in the midst of this world? The people of the Lord were greatly degenerated. That was not just the lowest ones. We read here about the highest of the people, that even justice was perverted. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. Thus there was corruption in the high seats of the land. How has the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. And then the Lord has punished them. He has brought trials in the midst of that people, but it did not help. He says, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. Thus the Lord is weary, as it were, with correcting his own people, with his servant warning his own people, but they would not hear. Still, they had a form of religion, but the Lord rejected that form. He says, what is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Do we ever think about that? Our solemn meeting and what that is for the Lord, to the Lord. When we come up Sabbath after Sabbath day, and how is it that the Lord sees it? Does he see that just as, well, that people, they come up and their religion, well, they satisfy their conscience? Because now we have gone to church, or now we have read the Bible in the morning, and now we can go and we can live our life just the way we want, and it can be in the service of the world, it can be in the service of the devil, of Satan himself. And then we come, even with our offerings, into that house of the Lord. Does the Lord say that also to us? Away with it. I cannot bear that you even come before me in my house of prayer. The Lord threatened a serious judgment upon his people. He says he was going to take away that whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. And he was going to take away their princes, and he was going to take away their mighty men, their soldiers, and he was going to give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And oppression, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. There will be rebellion. The children are going to behave themselves proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. How do you behave, young people, children, against your teachers, against your fathers and your mothers? The Lord says that in his word. We see that so much in our days. And then the Lord shows how it is both young and old that have contributed to this national guilt. Also the women. Their behavior often exemplifying what is the state, the condition of that people in that day. The Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and the cauls and round tires like the moon, the chains and bracelets, mufflers, bonnets, and so on. The Lord saith, not Isaiah saith, no. The Lord saith, the daughters of Zion are haughty, as he saw into their hearts. And all the rest just came before the eyes of Isaiah. They are haughty, walking with stretched forward necks and with wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go. There was no humility. And now the Lord's judgment. The Lord says, I cannot away with it. And my judgment is coming. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. What does that mean? Well, it is in the goodness of the Lord, in the Lord's calm and grace that he gives in the midst of this world about the same number of men as he has given women. That there may be wives for the men, that there may be husbands for the women in this world, that there may be a continuation of his people. And now the Lord says, I am going to come with my judgments, and I am going to permit the enemy to slay all the men. To slay all the men, the great men of war, and to take away the princes from among you, so that there are going to be so few men left that there will not be a husband for six out of every seven women. They will go unmarried. And that we know that was for them a very great shame. And they will become desperate because of the shame of their childlessness. Then they are going to transgress all the natural rules of modesty whereby they are waiting for a man to seek them out. No, in their despair they will go to seek out the men. The few men that are left, and those men, then they are even married men. So they are a married man. He has a wife, and they will seek him out, and they will say violently, they will with force, they will take hold of him, and they will say, take away our shame. So we will eat our own bread. We know a husband is supposed to take care of his wives, but we will take care of ourselves. You don't have to worry about the finances, we would say. Only let us be married unto you, as so that our shame can be taken away. that we may bring forth children. Only take away our reproach, and that will become so terrible in the midst of God's own people that a married man will take on 6 more wives. What a great and awful adultery. In that day, thus, it is going to be a judgment. It is going to be the judgment of the Lord upon His own people because of their iniquity. And it is going to be a time, we read, of awful calamities within the church of God because of their sin. And then in that day, he says, that is going to be a very dark day. That is going to be a very evil day. That is going to be a low day where that church of God is brought so, so very, very low. That is, we would say, near to the point of being completely extinct because there are no children born. There are no marriages. And then that people, they cannot continue as a nation. And when they cannot continue as a nation, what has now happened unto that promise of the Lord? Oh, the promise that the Lord has given to His own people. That covenant promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And that people now brought into such a desolate condition that their very existence itself is threatened. That we would say they are just going to peter out as a nation. And now our text that says, in that day, in that fearful day, in that very low day, shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Thus the Lord describes what His work is going to be. And when His work is going to be, when His salvation is going to come, and He says that is going to come in this day, in that day, that dark, that fearful day, that is when I am going to arise. That is when I am going to do my work. That is when I am going to appear. That is when I am going to show my great power. When has that been fulfilled? The prophecy of Isaiah. Prophecies of the Old Testament typically have multiple fulfillments. We can think, for example, of that time that Ahaz, the king of Israel, has brought the children of Israel into such a very, very low condition. And then the Lord has given a Hezekiah. We can think of how the children of Israel have been brought into captivity. There they lay in all their sin and in their guilt. And how the Lord has delivered them out of that captivity. And He has raised up a Zerubbabel. But this portion that is speaking in a special way about a fulfillment and that was further on in time than the deliverance of the natural Israel. It is speaking especially about the coming of the Messiah unto the Jews. That was going to come, the Lord says, in that day. Such a day it would be. Such a dark day, such a low day. And then Isaiah very suddenly speaks here about the branch of the Lord. The branch. So what is a branch? When we think of a branch, boys and girls, and we think of a tree and one of the branches. But here, the word branch that is speaking in a special way about what we would call a sprout. So a plant that is just appearing and it is sprouting, we would say, out of the ground. That's a growth, a new growth, a shoot that is coming up out of the earth. And later on, Isaiah and the other prophets have broadened out this thought about the prophecy of the branch. And Isaiah says himself later on, he speaks about the rod, and that rod that shall come out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So it'll come up out of the ground, out of the roots. And then we can read about Jeremiah. He calls the Lord. He says he is a branch of righteousness. What a wonder that would be for the children of Israel in such a time. A branch of righteousness in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation that is judged by the Lord for their wickedness. But here now is the first revelation that we read this new name. Thus the Lord Jesus has so many names by which that he is called in his word, by which he is revealing himself in his word. And one of those names is here revealed by Isaiah for the first time. He is called the branch of the Lord. He is called the branch of Jehovah. And that branch is going to spring, we read here, out of a tree and that has been cut down. A tree wherein no fruit has been growing. It is cut down. But the root is not gone. It is cut down. You know what Job says? He says there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, then it will grow again. But what is then necessary if it will grow again? If a tree is cut down and if it will grow again, it has to have a root. And that root has to be yet remaining in the earth. It has yet to be living in the earth. Then that root is not seen. That root is below the ground. And then it can seem to everyone that sees and looks on it that there is no hope in that tree because that tree is cut down. Oh, when Christ was born into the world, then he was born of a tree that was cut down, and he was as a sprout, a shoot that did come up from this root. That Jewish nation seemed to be no more a nation. They were under tribute. Where was now David? Where was now the promise to David? Oh, it seems like all of that is gone. Now, the people cannot help themselves. Those people are under tribute. Those people are slaves, we would say. They are brought under the power of another. And it is their own fault. It is their own iniquity that has brought them, that has laid them so low. And they have no power to deliver themselves because the power of that enemy is greater than the power of their own. Oh, congregation, the way of the Lord never changes, does it? We say sometimes that we stand here and we say the same thing over and over again, don't we? That is because we read the same thing over and over again in that holy word of God. What a wonder-working God he is. and how that the Lord is working in the life of his people, and how that the Lord is receiving all of his honor and all of his glory. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be glorious. Oh, it shall be beautiful, it says. Is he beautiful to you? Is he beautiful to you? Oh, there are some among us who will say that, who have seen him in his beauty, in his preciousness. And then how can they say that? Because the Lord has made room for him. Has made room for him. And otherwise then we have to say, there is no room for him. No room for him. There is room for the world. There is room for my desires. There is room for the flesh. There is even room for my religion. But there is no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord Jesus was born in a day when the promise that was to David, that was cut off. And then it seemed as if that promise was nothing more than a mockery. Know that a little? That it seems like the promise of the Lord, maybe in your own life, seems nothing but a mockery. You know that a little? When the Lord says, they that seek me shall find me. And they that ask, to them it shall be given. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know what that means for that promise to seem like a mockery? Year after year after year. And you say it is never fulfilled. Oh, and then suddenly there is here a sprout. A sprout. Just a little sprout. And that little sprout was testifying that though that tree of David was cut down, the root was not dead. The root was not dead. No, that is impossible for that root to die. Why? Because that is the Lord's work. That is the Lord's work. It is not seen all by men. It is growing. There is a foundation. The Lord Jesus says that man is digging deep. Oh, then he is not seen there. And the Lord's work is not seen there. It's underneath the ground. It cannot die. It cannot die. Because it is the Lord's work, and the Lord's work does not die. And now a little sprout, a little shoot that is coming up out of that ground. And now that is giving such a joy, that is giving such a rejoicing in the heart of his people. But let us sing first 218, 5 and 6. Look down, behold, and visit this thy vine, which thou hast planted with thy own right hand. The branch thou madest strong and owned it thine, for it is burned with fire no more to stand. Thy people perish in thy anger sore, because thy face now shines on them no more. 5 and 6 of 218. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Thus the Lord makes here a distinction between whom? He makes a distinction between Israel and them that are escaped of Israel. So what is the difference? Because we need to know of whom that the Lord is here speaking. The Apostle Paul says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Thus there is a visible church and there is an invisible church. Thus there is a form and there is substance. There is that which is external and there is that which is internal. Them that are escaped of Israel. Another word actually is for escaped. That is the word remnant. That is the remnant of Israel. Thus it is speaking about that which is left, that which is left over or escaped from Israel. In chapter 10, Isaiah says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them," that is upon the king of Assyria whom they trusted, "but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return." When the Lord judged his people, there was a remnant. There was a small part of the children of Israel that profited from the judgments of the Lord. That is, that returned unto the Lord. That perhaps were also seeking the idols and seeking to live as this world lives, as we have heard it. But a people that returned unto the Lord and that escaped the judgments of the Lord, and of those that went into captivity many years, there was a remnant that came back. They did not all come back. You say, how is that possible? They're brought into the land of Babylon. They're there in captivity. And many did not come back. That was their own choice. They have tasted of the world. They have tasted the pleasures of the world. And even though they were not actually a free people anymore, they were now free in that world in Babylon. They had no desire to come back with that remnant that feared the name of the Lord. The others came back. Thus you have the remnant. The remnant of Israel, those who are the escaped of Israel, the true Israel, the chastisements have humbled them. They have come through the trial. Or have we received profit from the chastisements of the Lord? Have the chastisements of the Lord, all the callings of the Lord, have they also had fruit among us to cause us with these people to return unto the Lord, that we may be brought in the way of a true repentance Did the trials of the Lord ever profit our own poor souls? Oh, you know, those people, they came back. And they returned unto the Lord. And you know where they sat? They sat there on an ash heap. They sat there upon the ruins that their own sin had brought into their own land. That is what they came back to. Oh, did our repentance ever bring us back? Bring us back into the Lord only to see that we have turned everything so upside down and that we are not able to fix it anymore. That we are not able to repair the breach anymore. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Isaiah speaks about the day that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world. And he would come into this world upon the ruins of his own church. What his church had brought and what his church could not fix. And indeed, they would have a form of religion, but truth and justice will have fallen in the streets. And yet the root is still there. Because, congregation, the root cannot die. Because that is now the Lord's work, when that tree that is cut down, that he is preserving yet that root in the earth. And thus there is a remnant also in that time, and they are waiting. They are waiting for the consolation of Israel, the branch of the Lord, Isaiah says. That is the branch of Jehovah. It is from the Lord. It is the branch of the Lord. Thus he speaks about the origin of this sprout, where it comes from. He says that is the sprout of Jehovah. It is a sprout that is divine. It is a sprout that comes from heaven. And he speaks about the nature also of that sprout, that it is a nature itself which is divine, and at the same time, it is the fruit of the earth. It is brought forth of the earth. Thus, we hear of that human part, we hear of that human nature of the humanity, thus we have already here in Isaiah speaking about that human and that divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later he will say it is Emmanuel. He says it is God with us. Here it is the branch of the Lord and the sprout of Jehovah along with the fruit of the earth. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. So, that is, there will be a certain portion of all of that outward, of that visible church, a certain number of that people that is the escaped of that people, the remnant of the Lord. And they are going to have a special estimation of that root, of that branch, of that shoot, of that stem. No, that is not going to be the estimation of everyone. Because Isaiah says, when we shall see him, there shall be no beauty in him that we should desire him. But you say, how can I know? How can I know now whether I belong to that remnant, the remnant of Israel? How can I know whether I belong to those that are escaped of Israel? Well, here is how we may know it. The escaped of Israel, who are they? That is a people who have been humbled. They have been humbled under the mighty hand of God. Is that now a good people? No, congregation. That is not a good people. That was also a sinful people. But it is a people that have been humbled. It is a people that have profited. It is a people that have been given a true repentance. They have been stopped by the Lord, by His Word, by His Spirit, by His judgments, by His callings. Ever come a day in your life that the Lord said, thus far, no further? Ever a day in your life that the Lord stopped you and you could no longer continue on? Not one more day as you have lived in the day of yesterday and as you have lived your whole past life, that you had to say farewell, and that you desired to say farewell with all of your heart. This people are made to sit upon the ruins of the work of their own hands. Were you ever made to sit on those ruins? To see what you have done and to say, this condition and this state that I am in, this is my own fault. It is a people, congregation, whose tree is cut down. Cut down. You say, people of the Lord. The Lord plants that seed and it grows and it grows and they grow in grace. Eh? They grow in grace. What does the Bible say? The Bible says cut down. And so it goes in their life. Does it go in that way in your life too? That does not seem like it goes in the right way, does it? Because we want to see it grow and we want to make it larger and we want to become holier and we want to become closer to the Lord. And how does it go? You say it goes in the wrong way. It goes so backward. The heart that becomes harder. It seems that my sin that only increases. For them that are the escaped of Israel. In that day that this branch of the Lord appears, in that day that that sprout, that living sprout, that new shoot is revealed unto the soul of that people. That is the day that the kingdom of God is now set up in the soul of that people. And now when they see, they see in him a great beauty. They see a great glory. Then they have never seen in their life anything of such great splendor. Do you know what the Lord does? He starts all over. He starts all over. He had to. He had to, because he said to Adam, obey. And Adam did not obey. And now we cannot obey anymore. And Paul says, weak through the flesh, no hope. No hope from our side. You ever feel it? You ever grieve over that? But now the Lord says, I start all over again. Tree is cut down and a new branch. The branch of Jehovah, the sprout of Jehovah, life. Life from heaven. Divine life. Oh, see that branch of the Lord. Then they see the power. Oh, when they have no power, it is a divine power. It is a power that is able to deliver a man. To deliver a man from all his iniquity. To deliver a man from all of his sin. Oh, it can be that view is so small. You know when the disciples, when the shepherds came and they came into that stable and then they saw what? Child. Just so small. And the hope in their heart when they saw that child. All the glory that they may view in that child. You ever see it? Ever see it? Maybe congregation so far away. You say, I saw it so dimly. I saw it so dimly. But, I know what I saw. I know what I felt. Oh, there was a new life there. It was divine life there. It was the life of the Lord. It was life from the Lord. It is the life himself that I saw there. Oh, that was so glorious. That was so beautiful in my eyes. Oh, they cannot explain it all. They cannot tell you the glory of all the attributes and of all the works and of all of his person, but they see it. Oh, they see something, and it is so beautiful and more splendid than if you had seen the most splendid things of God's creation here below. And now they see the fruit of the earth. The fruit of the earth says that shall be to them excellent, and it shall be comely. Oh, they will not despise the fruit of the earth. They will not despise that human nature like the Jews did. They said, we have no king but Caesar. We are embarrassed. We are so embarrassed with this man. And now these Romans, they look upon us, the Jewish people, and we are the people of the Lord. And we have this man as our king. Oh, no, we have no king like this. Is that the way it is in the heart of that people? When they may see him in his human nature, when they may see him as the fruit of the earth, no, then they see him, Isaiah says, in his excellency. Oh, they see him in his comeliness. That is in his majesty and in his honor. Oh, that is what they would like to distribute over this whole world. That this man, he is our God. Oh, they may see the power. They may see the victory. And that he is going to receive for them in that human nature, humbling himself that he might be exalted, and humbling himself that he may exalt his own children on high. Oh, but there is more in it. But I see our time has gone already. Oh, there is more in it. Because actually it says here the fruit of the earth. But congregation, it is actually the fruit of the land. The fruit of the land. So it is not, there is a certain limitation in the word. Not meaning just the fruit of the earth, the whole earth. But the fruit of the land, that is the fruit of the land of Israel, the fruit of the land of Judah, the fruit of the land of Jerusalem. He is going to be born out of that land, and he is going to be born for that land. But who is that land? That is just the land that has departed from the Lord. That is just the land that has sinned so grievously against the Lord, that has been chosen by the Lord out of all the nations of the world and have so despised all the blessings and all the privileges and have sought after the idols of the world and the fashions of the world and the enjoyments of the world and the pleasures of the world and all the idols of the world and have lowered themselves and had to be judged by the Lord. And now it is the fruit of that land. Oh, what a joy, what a wonder when that people may see him. Do you know what Isaiah says later? He says, for unto us, a son is born. And unto us, the child is given. The fruit of the land, O congregation, when the Lord appears, he appears as one that is perfectly suitable to the case of his people, the desperate case of his own people. That is such a mystery. The branch of the Lord, that holy, that heavenly being. And at the same time, the fruit of the earth and the fruit of this land. Oh, so necessary, both of them. For them that are escaped of Israel. Oh, true faith that makes a man own his own sin. That is so personal. So personal. Oh, was it ever made personal to you? Oh, that publican, he says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That is what faith does. That is what faith does. It brings it home to my own case. And that when faith may behold that Messiah, revealed in your soul. Well, you know what our catechism says then? It says, oh, that's so beautiful. Not only for others, but also for me. Also for me. That is now the wonder of it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief. Or in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can acknowledge thee aright for all thy works and for all thy ways, for thy dear and only begotten Son, Lord, eternity will be necessary for the escaped of Israel to magnify him. And that is so beauteous and so glorious, so excellent and so comely. Oh, include us, Lord. Cut us off. Cut us off of our own righteousness, of our own wisdom, of our own strength, as difficult as that will be for our flesh. And oh, that thou wouldst ground us and found us and unite us unto thy dear and only begotten and beloved Son. humble us under thy gifts and also for thy help that thou hast given unto us in this hour. Bless thy word. Help us the rest of this day in the catechizing and in this week catechizing confession class. Remember all that must stand in this week by an open grave. And thou knowest in a special way the young widows to stand there with their little children. Lord, it is an impossible way, but thou dost lead in it. Help them. Sanctify the callings. Keep us from a sudden and from an unprepared death. Give us meditation upon thy word of truth. Bless the labors of our hands. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 241, 1 through 5. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 1 through 5 of 241. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.